Good morning and welcome to Faith Springs Baptist Church, and welcome everybody that's online from Pearland to, listen, we got people in California today. I know we have some people in Connecticut today that have already mentioned that they're going to be on, some people in Florida and literally around the world. So welcome. We're going to sing some songs here just shortly, and you ought to be here, though. If you can be here, come on in. You can fly here. Hobby Airport's open now. Fly on in to Houston and drop on in to see us here at Faith Springs Baptist Church. Good to have everybody. We're going to be in the book of Jonah today, so you want to make sure you grab that if you have time to find that. You know, that's one of those that I don't have an easy time to find. It's kind of between Psalm and Malachi, so you have to go that way with it. So if you have your Bible, you want to grab that, because we got to get Jonah. He's still in that well. We've left him in there a week or two. Let's sing a few songs, and then we'll. Are you going to survive him okay? We all right? Because I'm going to probably get kind of loud. Imagine that. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good to see everybody this morning. Who does that have to do about someone? There's power in the blood. Uh-oh, we got some kids. Good. Hi, guys.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil offend no repent? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonderful power in the blood of the Lamb. There's power, wonderful power. Serve us for Jesus, your King. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonderful power in the blood of the Lamb. There's power, power, wonderful power in the precious blood. What the words are saying in this book. Without him, what could we do? That's right.
Without him,
because we're talking about Jonah, it's a ship.
Jesus. Thank you.
This one don't bring back memories, nothing will. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea the ushers come forward. Well, I guess we're resting. Take up the morning. Wow, the place filled up during that first two or three songs. Fantastic. How are y'all doing? Batman, how are you? Hey, girls. How are you? Good to see you, sailors. You got the little ones in the nursery? Wonderful. Fantastic. If you haven't looked back, look back, because you've got an awesome group back there. Jerry, good to see you.
Good morning.
How are you, my friend?
Yes.
Good answer. Good answer. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I just want to come to you and thank you for the day that you've allowed us to be in your house. And Lord, I am so thankful that it's well with my soul. Lord, no matter what's going on in our lives, we know without a shadow of a doubt that you're the anchor that keeps everything in line. Even when we think, Lord, we're out of control, it's never out of your control. Lord, may you take these offerings that we give to you as an offering of praise, of worship, of what you've done for us. And Lord, just multiply it. Not so we have a bigger bank account, but so it make a bigger impact on people that need to hear more about you. Lord, bless each person that's able to give, those who can't. Lord, be with the ones that's on the prayer list, the ones that are hurting, the ones that need to have that assurance inside their spirit that it's still going to be okay. That as long as we're breathing, Lord, there's hope. And as long as you're on the throne, we know there's hope. And Lord, thank goodness that isn't something that comes up every 4 years and we have to vote on it. You are the master, creator, and Lord of all, the King of kings, Lord of lords, the Almighty One. And we give you that glory and praise. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen. May God bless you as you give in the ministries that they go to. Jesus, I adore you, and then Spirit, I adore you. Lay my life. Amen. I tell you, what's that? What's Emmanuel mean? Oh, very good. All right. I'm too old for this. No amens on that, please. Thank you. You know, you want to make sure. I thought I took a fingernail off. I stopped doing that. Tonight at 8 o'clock on BBS Radio, which is the best radio station in the country. You all know my son, James Matthew, my oldest, my firstborn. The two twins that I named him after, James and Matt Brown, were in my youth group when they were in eighth grade, just graduated eighth grade going into high school. And that was in my young days when I was just a youth director in Illinois. And James and Matt are ministers or preachers. I think we had like 10 ministers that came out of the youth group, which is wonderful. I don't know how that happens, but this church is very well known for producing ministers. But anyway, tonight at 8 o'clock, James Brown's going to be on, and he's going to share his testimony of how things were good, had an accident, got caught up into some pain medication from his back, then mixed it with alcohol, and then went down where he was drinking a fifth of vodka a day to maintain and keep the pain under control, and how the Lord almost literally saved him from losing everything. And he's now cleaning toilets at the church instead of preaching there. He's the maintenance man, and he's thanking God for that. So it's a powerful story, and you want to do that. That's tonight at 8 o'clock. And then fasten your seatbelts. Next week, the only living member of the I Love Lucy staff, the cast, Keith Thibodeau, little Ricky, will be on the show. And he's going to talk about being with Lucy and Desi and spend the night and listen to Jack Benny playing his violin next door when the windows were open during the summer and living right there and going from that to being Johnny Paul on the Andy Griffith Show. You can't imagine how excited Curtis and I are that he's going to be on the show. But the neat thing about that is he got with David and the Giants, a rock group, got involved in the drug scene, about lost it all, found Jesus Christ, and now he is the executive director with his wife at the Ballet Magnificat in Jackson, Mississippi. It's a huge ballet company, and he's going to talk about how the Lord took him out from good times, the bottom, and then back up. So that's good. Little Ricky's going to be on next week. So that's just going to be awesome. And I got his book here, Life After Lucy. And I just watched a special last night on Reels that he was featured on. And I saw him on Fox this week having an interview on Fox News. And I thought, why not just call him and see if he answers? And I'll be doggone if he didn't. So, and willing to do that and talk about Jesus Christ. So I just love that. I kind of, you notice our shows kind of tended to tilt that way, which is all right with me. So I have no problem with that. And understanding that each person in this place has times where we are up on the highest peak, and then all of a sudden, is it not? Things happen, and we get down to the bottoms. And we hit bottom sometimes, and sometimes we need to allow your kid, your wife, your husband, your friend, to hit bottom so they can be brought back up. And we left Jonah. Well, let's turn it. Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. Good to see you, Philip. Good to see you, Monica. I miss you. Good to see y'all. I'm going to turn this off. I have three different sermons, and it all depends on how much we got in the offering, whether I do one, two, or three. I did not teach. You got to remember that Jonah was asked to go on a trip. And he was down here in Joppa, if you see this on the map. And he was asked to go to a trip to Nineveh, which is right here. Just a little, it's about an inch. It was a 2 or 3 day walk. I think it was a couple hundred miles from here to here. Where did Jonah go? Here. That's where he wanted to go. And if you look at it this way, in their mindset back in those days, he went to the absolutely end of the world to get away from God. I mean, they didn't know anything was on the other side of this. I mean, they didn't have this map, but I mean, that's where he went. God said, I wanted you here. You go here. And if you remember right, last week, or 2 weeks ago, we left him with this verse. Chapter 1, verse 17. If you're there, say, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, here we go. Now. You notice the chapter, verse 1? How's that chapter start off? Now. How's one of our favorite TV shows start with? Now. Now sit right back in here at Taylor Kickball Trip. This is the ultimate Gilligan's Island here. The ultimate shipwreck that ends up happening here. But in verse 17, it says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Isn't it amazing? Because we've left him in the belly for a couple weeks now. Because we took a week off last week. Isn't it amazing what great efforts we go to run away from God?
Oh, yeah.
Think about it. Please be honest. And if you're listening, just be honest with yourself. Business. Work. We overwork. We overfill. We put in all the hours. Now, wait, I'm stepping on my own toes this morning, okay? When there's things that I know I need to be doing, I'll go to work and say, oh, I got to work. I got to work. And we and sometimes that is a process just to get away from what God wants us to do. So we run away from God by busyness, by avoidance, by just always changing the subject when God comes up. Have a friend like that? Have people like that in your circle of friends? And you want to talk about God, just as soon as you bring up God, you go, oh, well, you know, hey, I got to go. Or they always try to change the subject. But sometimes we do that too. Especially when we know we're not in the will of God, and especially when we know we're trying to run away from Him. So at any time that you even see God's hand move, we want to avoid it and get out of it as fast as we can. And then there's that wonderful word called procrastination. Someday I will get with Him. Someday all the kids will be out of the house and I'll get serious about God. Let me tell you, y'all listening, they never leave. They stay. That's not true. A lot of times it is. But sometimes they can come back home, right? By procrastination, some days I'll do it. We run from God by denial. I just don't believe there even is a God. I just want to deny that He was in existence. And I want to tell you, there's certain days, there's certain things that happen that there is no way in the world that you can deny that there is a God. Have you ever been in a maternity ward when the baby just comes out and they show you this that just came out of mom? How can you deny that there's a God? But we do that just by denial. And then we run away from God by anger. I just don't care. I don't care. I don't want to have anything to do with Him. And we get mad and we throw anger and just throw it around. And then probably one that gets us church folks so well is just my good deeds. I'm a pretty good person. I do what I'm supposed to. I put my $5 in the plate today. What else you want, God? I did you a favor. I even showed up in church. But when God says, hey, I have a mission for you. I have a life purpose for you. I have a destination that I want you to go to. We go, I'm too busy for that. But I'm doing good stuff. I'm doing good stuff for you, God. And the truth is, you really can't run from God, because at some point, you're going to run right smack dab into him. And I promise you that. I promise you that. So where are you in the story? Are you running from him? Because we're fixing to go inside the cruise ship here in chapter 2, verse 1. But the truth is, you can't run from him. Eventually, you're going to run to him. And Philip, that verse, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. You're going to run into him sometime anyway. Why not do it on this side of heaven? Because every knee's going to bow, every tongue. You will have a one-on-one Zoom conference meeting with God one day, except it won't be via telecom. You'll be face-to-face. So run all you want, but eventually there's going to be a reckoning. I want you to see something here. I don't know if I've ever seen it this way. I've never preached on Jonah before, so this is all new to me. Verse 2. Remember, Jonah's in the fish. He's been there 3 days, three nights. Verse 2. Think about this first. If you see what chapter 1 tells us, we talked about a couple weeks ago. Remember? He's in the boat. The boat was waiting for him down. He went down in the boat. The storm starts coming up. They start throwing everything out. And then they went to Jonah and said, what's going on? Does this have to do with you? And they ended up grabbing him by the ankles and threw him overboard. And immediately, chapter 1 says he started to go under. He went down. Have you ever thought about this? That God's love and grace created a fish that would protect him and save him from dying? If it wasn't for the fish, he was dead meat. He was drowning. There was a provision here provided by God. And all we ever think about most of the time when we talk about Jonah, said, oh, well, he was out of God's will, so God just ate him up until he changed his mind. No, not necessarily. He was out of God's will, yes, but I want you to see, even out of God's will, God said something to protect him, to keep him safe, or he would have been dead. He would have went up to the shore of the beach, eventually washed up, would have been a dead body. But God created a fish big enough to, as he went down to the bottom, to just come and eat him, take him in a single bite, and save him from what the waters was going to do to him to begin with. So there's a provision by God. Now, verse 1 there. Then Jonah prayed. Well, there was nothing else to do. What else was he going to do? He's in the fish, being in the storm, being thrown overboard, wasn't the lowest part of his life. The lowest part of his life was when the fish ate him and went to the bottom and then sat there for 3 days. Nothing but inside of a whale, a fish. Let's just call it a great fish because we don't know what it was. I can't wait to see the DVD, though, in heaven. That's going to be awesome. That was the depth. And then notice what Jonah does. He prays. And notice what he prays. He prays to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly. And he says, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. And he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. Trapped by God in Jonah's own disobedience and bitterness, he now recognizes God's efforts. And prayer breaks out. You answered me. You saw where I was at. You saw how bad it was going to be. Jonah now recognizes how unpleasant the situation is. The fish was God's way to grant him mercy and life. I wonder how many of you see your bad circumstances you're in right now as God's mercy. Think about this. Because y'all are going through it. And as I was praying over every chair this morning, and I love doing that. If you get here early, you ought to just do that on your own. But I imagine who's going to be here in those chairs. And, you know, Jack and Lucy, right in that area, I prayed for you guys. And I went around the whole room. And I started to recognize the people that have experienced such pain and heartache. Look around, folks. Just a few years ago, Candy, Bernice, Jack, Annie, Jane, Pat, Jerry. And there's bunches of more. But the impact of that, somewhere in the middle of that darkest time, at the bottom of the sea of your emotions, where you think there's no hope for me, what did Jonah do? He cried out to God, in the middle of my affliction, do you hear me? Been there, done that, and I'll do it again tomorrow. And we all have those stories. And some of you, and I don't even know what some of you experienced even this week, some of you are still in that fish, and it's dark, it stinks, you don't want to be there, but I encourage you to just follow the one verse, and we don't have to go any further. We can say amen, it was great to be in God's house. Just by what was Jonah's response? He prayed. Some of us go, how could you, God? How dare you do that? Now, this was a little different. It was out of disobedience that God was trying to get his attention. But I can still understand the depth of the hurt, of the loss, of the darkness, of the unpleasantness, of how it's completely out of your control. When you're somebody that's OCD like me, I don't like anything to be out of my control. But I guarantee you, when I start losing that, I don't turn to God as a last resort. I have learned over the years, I turn to him as the first. As the first. And that's why I thought last week was so important. Whether it was good or not, I don't know, but to me it was so important. We have to make a decision. No matter what, it's going to be God first, whether I understand it or not. Whether I figure out where he's going with it or not. We learned that several weeks ago. God, just tell me the plan and I'll jump on. No, you wouldn't, because if you saw the game plan, there's no way you would have agreed to that. So he has to only show you step by step, because any more than that, you go, hey, wait, I'll take that one, but I'm not going to take that one. And he said, but it's important that you take that one and that one, because it's going to get you to where I want you to be. And if you use what you've had experience in your life, it'll make you who I want you to be. And so Jonah prays, and he recognizes, through though unpleasant, the fish was God's way to grant him mercy and life. He became better, not bitter. If we wasn't on film around the world, I would call out people's names that have not got better. They've got bitter. Chances are, you work with somebody that you can't figure out why and how they are who they are. How do they sleep at night the way they talk to us? How can they ever find anything good to say about anybody? It was at the depths, and they didn't turn to God. And it made them miserable. And I want to encourage you that no matter what you're in, no matter what's happened to you, take Jonah's words here and his actions of not running away from him, but praying to him. And then I want you to see as we keep going. I think we're going to get all the way through this today. I'm going to try anyway. Verse 3. So we saw his provision, we saw his prayer, and now we're going to see the panic. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. I want you to hear the prayer. Have you ever felt, and I've talked about this because this is in the new book. Have you ever felt that you're drowning? In the absence of water? Oh, one day you will. That you can't catch your breath. You feel like it's as dark as it's going to get, and you can't even, it's like it's overwhelming me. It's taking me. I don't understand. And he's saying, I wasn't only in the water. It went to my soul. It was depth of darkness, of pain that I have never experienced before. The deep closed around me. Look at this. Weeds. Some of your versions may say seaweed. Not only is he overboard, not only is there a storm, he's sinking like he has concrete shoes on. And then he's entrapped in seaweed. We're wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountain. The earth and its bars closed behind me forever. Yet, you have brought up my life from the pit, oh Lord my God. He recounts the moment. Currents swallowed him. No hope remained. But God had a fish on the line. The awesome fish story of all time. Can you imagine what Jonah said when he got to tell the people of Nineveh the story? This fish, we know how fishermen does a fish this way and it goes to this. Can you imagine Jonah? Hey, this fish was bigger than the size of a school bus. Didn't know what a school bus was back then. This is big. Remember Noah's Ark? Hey, this thing's big. It's telling the story. No hope remained, but God had other things in mind. Notice the irony in verse 4. Jonah was running away from God, now acknowledges his fear of being banished from his sight. He was running from him, and he prays, I've been cast out of your sight. If you're running from God, why wouldn't you go, finally, I got out of his vision. Finally, I'm out of his place where he can see me and manipulate me or try to force me to do something I don't want. But in the prayer, he's saying, I'm praying, God, you're there because I was lost. I was out of your sight. Do you see that he's returning back? Do you see that during that prayer, he starts having a shift in his attitude? He's starting to return back to him. And we're going to see in 3 and 4 the next week or two how it turns everything around because he trusted in God finally. Have you ever done this? I got 15 minutes, so hang with me. Y'all still with me? Okay. I thought I heard somebody snore, but I'm not for sure. I mean, somebody, that's a dog snore. Okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever done this? We see Opie doing this on Andy Griffith. Beaver. Do it on Leave It to Beaver. Have you ever? Think about this. As a kid, your mom or dad did something to you. And you said, that's it. As a child, you pack your bags and you run away. You remember this? I remember this vividly. I remember packing a little bag, walking out the back patio door. We had like an acre and a half field. And I announced, I'm running away and never coming back. I didn't make it to the end of the yard. Because I didn't really want to run away from home. But when you're at the end of the yard, listen to this. No matter what happened in the house, when you're at the end of the yard, you realize you can't do this on your own. Where would I go? Where would a 6.5-year-old boy go? Who's going to take care of a kid like me? So everything from the anger and the so mad at being with my dad, and I remember what this was about. I was playing Yahtzee. Remember that game? Oh, yeah, us Baptists played with dice. Uh-oh, that'll get, you know, we'll have to answer that to God. Anyway, play Yahtzee. I got Yahtzee. And I yelled as a 6.5-year-old boy. I yelled, Yahtzee! And I fell back in my seat, and the chair fell over. And Dad came in and did one of his things. When you heard that, you knew it was trouble. And he took me and beat me with his belt from a game of Yahtzee that I was at one time so happy. And then all of a sudden, boom, it changed. And the anger in me, the disappointment in me, the embarrassment of me because my neighbor boys, my neighbor friends were there. Mike and Mark was there. And to have it done in front of, because it happened a lot, but to have it done in front of them, like, that's it. I was crying and went to my room and I started packing up. And you take all the important things in life when you're a kid. Don't forget the baseball cards. Don't forget the comic book. And then you're mad and you stop off. Although, you're looking back to see if they care enough. But then when you're at the end of the field, of the yard, and you realize you gotta have them, the anger ebbs away. You can't do it on your own. You need to return it back. There's people here in this place this morning that life was a game. You're at the top of your game. And you fell out of your chair. And life turned ugly for you. And you're wanting to get away from everything that even symbolizes him. But I want to encourage you, when you get to the end of the field where there's no other steps to go, return back home. Because God is there to love you, to wrap his arms around you, to take care of you in a powerful way. And to say, and this, now we go back into the prodigal son story. So we can just relate this, and I can just preach all kinds of sermons. It just keeps on going to another one. Have you been there, done that? Can you relate to this? I want to start, well, I'll finish next week because I know I'm not going to be able to get there. I only got a few minutes. But we deal with so many life issues today. And I get emails and a lot of people that are on are people that I counsel. 2 days ago, I had a person, and I think Kirstie responded to last week's show and emailed me. She's been raped and don't want to give God any acknowledgement whatsoever. And I always try to go there. I always try to indicate, hey, it's tough, but it'll be tougher without him. He's the one person that will never violate you, that will never intentionally hurt you. That even though things don't always go the same way, he's always there. In your life, how many people do you have? Can you put them on this hand or to take both? That will always be by your side, always love you, always support you, never forsake you, and will never turn their back against you. How many people do you have? Will it fit on one hand, or can you go to two, or some of you have to take off your shoes and socks? I have ones that maybe will fit on two or three fingers. Because sometimes they love you because of what you're doing for them. They love you because you're acting like you want. They want you to act. They love you because they control you. They love you for what you do for them. But when you say, hey, wait, what about me? I need some help right now. You turn and they're not anywhere around. God is the one person. I'm not, so don't come to me. I'll let you down. There'll be a day that you will call me and I won't answer. There'll be a day that you text me and you won't get a text back, even though I try to answer pretty darn quick. There'll be a day that I just flat stub my toe. And you're going, boy, I sure never expected Greg to do that. What was he thinking? But I promise you, as I told this lady, I promise you God's not one of those people. God will be there. God will give you something. He will give you the strength. He will give you the presence. He will give you the patience and the endurance to get through it as long as you turn to Him. Or, from the story, or take Jonah's advice and take off running. Matter of fact, when we say amen, go out the back door, will you? So the world doesn't see you out the front. If you want to run from him, just go ahead and go out the back and maybe nobody will find out he was a jerk. And just run away and see how far you get. But eventually, you will come face to face with your Creator. And you're going to have to deal with him head on. And in that moment, when you finally are at the end of your yard and you're holding everything of your life possessions here, and you go, I have nowhere to go. Nobody wants me. Nobody will take care of me. This world isn't as safe as I thought. God will say, I'm here. Come back. I'll protect you. Come on. I'm here. Some of you have been running. Some of you have been ignoring. Some of you have been so busy you're not even wanting to pay attention. You're denying him. You're pushing him to the side. And he's saying this morning, all you have to do is recognize I'm in control. Stop running from me. And now pray. Pray. Because in reality, God has already given you the provision. He's already given you the provision. God's protected you. You just don't realize it. The only reason I'm alive is because God's protected me. The only reason you're alive is because God's taking care of you. And now, the experience that you're in, turn it into the mission that you're going to take for the rest of your life. He gets in this. We hadn't even get to the good part yet. We'll talk about this next week. And then something happens. Not only, well, I won't tell you, we'll talk about it next week. You don't want to miss it. Been running? Got your bags packed? Return back to him. But in the depths of the darkness that you're in right now, look up and pray to God. Dear God, you have a purpose for things in our life. You have a room full of people that have so many life events that it could take volumes of books to explain them and tell them. There's heartache in this room. There's heartache for the people online that's listening around the world. There's heartache. There's pain. There's questions that they can't find the answers for. But Lord, you're there. Let today be the day that we say, Lord, I'm looking to you. I'm not going to run one more minute. I'm going to stop. I'm going to drop. And I'm going to pray to the one that's in control. Lord, thank you for your word. May the word go out and fall on good soil. May the devil not come and send his spiritual demon birds to snatch the seed away. May they grow roots and go deep in our hearts. And we'll be able to understand it, be able to take it with us as we leave this place and use it for not only our own lives, but our families' lives and those people that we come in contact with to be a minister to them with what's going on. And Lord, we need to pray to you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your protection. And thank you for your provision, even though sometimes we don't understand. We give you all the praise and the glory. Let your Holy Spirit move. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you all for coming today. Have an awesome week. Come back next week and we're going to dig back into chapter 2 again and finish this up. So thank you. Thank you for being with us. Faith Springs Live, we just ask you to come back next week. If you need somebody to minister to you or pray with you, just somebody you want to talk to, give us a reach out, shout out to us, and we'd love to talk to you. God bless. Have an awesome week. Thank you all.